in the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
On with Gene and Chris on this week's episode of the Paracast. You know, as many of our listeners are aware, we use a Microsoft product grudgingly for our networking, which is Skype. And Skype is not just used for radio shows or podcasts in general. They use it on TV, too, now. This way they don't have to send the big trucks with the satellite dishes around the world. They use Skype. The problem with Skype is that it's not very reliable. As a lot of our listeners know, when it works, the sound quality is good. Chris sounds almost as good as if he was across the room from me. Almost as good, but not quite. Sometimes you get garbling connections, and sometimes we get disconnects. You have no idea what we go through sometimes to get these shows done.
Boy, ain't that the truth.
Right, but then, you know, I can't have Chris drive down 100 miles each way to do this live. We don't need to do that anymore. This is the generation of telecommuting or something. In any case, this is the second week in a row that we have sad news to report. Last week we mentioned that a talk show host, paranormal talk show host by the name of Kevin Smith, no relationship that I know of to the famous movie director, died of a heart condition. And now we hear Dr. Jesse Marcel, possibly one of the last living witnesses to Roswell, died this past week. Did you meet Dr. Marcel?
You know, I did. Of course, you know, I've known for years about Jesse's story of being a kid and seeing his dad, Jesse Marcel Sr., come in with the Roswell debris, spread it out on the floor, and have him come in and check it out. I had never had the pleasure of meeting him until the recent Washington, D.C. Citizen disclosure faux hearings, and I had a chance to meet him and talk with him for a few minutes. He was really a sweet guy. I was taken by his testimony. I think it was quite heartfelt and it was important, I think, for the hearings to have him there. And I'm sure he will be missed by a lot of people who are interested in Roswell, especially the researchers out there over the years who have befriended him and gotten to know him. He just seemed like a really sweet guy and a real true blue American, too. I mean, it was just recently that he was flying helicopters and doing medical work over in the Middle East with the troops. So he'll be missed. And you're right, we are losing, you know, most of our primary witnesses now are passed on for the Roswell event.
Now, for those who want to check our archives, we had Dr. Marcel on two episodes of the Paracast, August 1st, 2006, our first year on the air, and November 16th, 2008. Now, an important thing we should also mention here about Dr. Marcel is the fact that he suffered from his service in Iraq. According to Kevin Randall, who did a eulogy for him at his blog, A Different Perspective, Jesse Marcel suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder. And it's so sad that people who go there, go overseas to defend our country, and they come back and they're really, really screwed up. This very much impacted his medical career as a result of this. I would check out Kevin's blog. It's called A Different Perspective, kevinrandall.blogspot.com. Or if you go to theparacast.com, just about everywhere we mention Kevin Randall as a guest on the show, you'll have a link to his articles. So I would recommend that. But I think part of it here is that you have to wonder, when it comes to a case like Roswell, will we ever get to the bottom of it? I mean, we see the history passing before our eyes, and there was kind of a gruesome joke some people mentioned, we're chasing the Undertaker. Now, Dr. Marcel saw the wreckage of Roswell. I gather he touched it also, as I recall, right?
Yeah.
So we have that description, a very compelling description of somebody who was 11 years old at the time this happened. And we have to assume any adults in the room, if they're still alive, would be in their 80s and 90s. So where do we go from here? Is there any hope of learning anything more about Roswell, unless the authorities have some kind of secret evidence that they're not letting us know about?
I'm not going to hold my breath, Gene.
And we still have the argument, was Roswell a test aircraft? Was it a balloon? I mean, we can go into all the stories of why it can't be a balloon, why it can't be a Mogul balloon, anything like that. But so many years distant from the event, and the fact also that after the Roswell story came out in 1947, it lay dormant for the next 30 years or so until William Moore, Stan Friedman, and Charles Berlitz started doing research on a book about Roswell, which came out in 1980. So in 30 years, you still have to think about the cultural contamination. And when you're doing your investigation into cattle mutilations and other paranormal events, Christopher, as a field investigator, how do you consider doing research of events that are so far off in the past?
Well, yeah, that's a good question, Gene. You know, it's quality of sources. To give you an example, for many years I heard rumors of a wave of mutilation cases that occurred in England in the early 1600s in the 15th century. And it took a lot of digging, but I finally did find this particular citation from the court records of James I. And, you know, I had always prefaced my comments about this prior to finding this documentation, that this was a rumor that I had heard, but I had not been able to confirm it and be able to quote, you know, chapter and verse where this rumor originated and whether it was legit. And I finally did find it. And our actual documentation train was very interesting and extremely credible. So, you know, it's really the credibility of the sources and being able to confirm that source in some manner. That's the key thing for me. Again, you know, data is data, and rumors and stories and urban legends are just that. So that's kind of where I sort of draw the line. If I can get documentation, if I can cite it, the source material, and then get confirmation of that, then I'll run with it.
I think this came into play when we had our guest last week, Chad Lewis, talking about the Van Meter episode,
right,
about a bat-like creature, a possible Iowa Mothman. And once again, looking into old documentation to see what happened. In his case, he had access to newspaper clippings, quoting the movers and shakers of that community. So it certainly had credibility. We don't know really what happened, but at least we have something where there is source material. And as I keep arguing here, that goes back to this other case in the UFO field, Aztec, where you don't have the documentation preceding
right.
This book. Now, a little bit later on, we're going to be talking to Walter Bosley. He's a former counterintelligence agent, and he can prove it, by the way. He's actually sent us more credentials than you can wish for. And you have to contrast that with people who claim to have experiences or educational or a military background and have no evidence. He provided the evidence.
Boy, did he.
Oh, we got his DD-214. The DD-214 is, of course, your military certificate when you're discharged. You have that paper to prove who and what you were. And you'd be surprised how many people claim that experience. And when you say DD-214, they go, "What? I'll get back to you 5 years later." Now, Walter has two e-books out there called Empire of the Wheel, and it starts with a strange, rather gruesome story of questionable deaths going back almost 100 years. Once again, doing research of an event that happened a long, long time ago, trying to unearth the facts, trying to come up with a credible narrative as to what might have happened. This is going to be a fascinating session. And we're talking about here a guy who's been in the FBI, been in military counterintelligence. He's a private investigator. He knows his stuff about unearthing facts, and you're going to hear some really fascinating stuff. So we've got Walter Bosley joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space.
But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Summertime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fem and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin B, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Yes, he worked for the FBI. Yes, he's a former counterintelligence agent. His name was Walter Bosley. He's been on the Paracast several times before. But this time we're going to sharply focus not on UFOs and disinformation and all that NSA stuff that's going on, but on his two books, Empire of the Wheel, the original, and the sequel, Empire of the Wheel 2. But before we go to that, Walter Bosley, first, welcome back to the Paracast.
Thanks for having me, Chris and Gene. I appreciate it.
Now, unfortunately, we found in this field, as you know, you got into this discussion in our forums at forum.theparacast.com, where people legitimately ask for your credentials, your background. And let me preface this by the fact that a couple of years back, we discovered that Phil Imbrogno, who was pretty well known in the UFO field, who had written a book with Dr. J. Allen Hynek, his educational credentials were fake, his military background was fake, and now there's this article at Kevin Randall's Different Perspective about a guy who really did have military service, did receive lots of accolades in a long career, named Richard French, yet his current claim, half his credentials were faked, his educational credentials were faked. He claims to have been one of the authors of Project Blue Book documents, and we can't verify that either. So I guess we're seeing here, Walter, that even people who have somewhat of a background aren't afraid to embellish a little bit.
Unfortunately, that is the case. You know, that's why, for one thing, investigative agencies have things like internal affairs departments, because, you know, unfortunately, there are people who, to some degree, are involved, are credentialed, are legit, but they seem to want to cross a line. And in that, I'm not familiar personally with the Richard French case, but from what you've just said here, it sounds like a guy who, you know, wanted to be involved with something now that he feels is exciting and interesting, and, you know, has crossed a line just to buy some attention, so to speak.
He was actually, Walter, just for your information, he was included in the list of witnesses at the recent citizens hearing on disclosure faux hearings in D.C. He actually contacted me a number of years ago, and really he bugged me to sit and talk with him. And I just always had a sense that I never did follow up on it. And I just felt that some of his claims, the few of them that I was aware of, just seemed so over the top that, you know, I just didn't waste my time with it. And I'm not surprised to hear that he's being, the veracity of his background and some of his statements are being questioned by someone like Kevin. It doesn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah. Well, I try to be clear with people on what I was and what I was not. You know, sometimes people, when I was doing my work where I was out of the country a lot in counterterrorism, you know, friends and associates, acquaintances would kind of describe what I would do, and sometimes they would get it wrong. They would, you know, tell somebody, you know, I was more in the lines of some type of commando type guy, and I would correct them and say, no, I didn't do that type of work. I was more kind of in the spook field and the threat assessment field, that kind of thing, never a commando. So I try to be really sensitive to the descriptions and make sure that I'm being as accurate and correct as I can possibly be.
Okay, now, I guess the key here is, because of what you've done, and we'll ask you to very briefly just mention it, we're not going to extend a long discussion on it, are you constrained in any way from telling us the things you did?
Well, yes, I'm constrained in the details of operations. I'm constrained in telling, you know, like certain people, or identifying, you know, certain people who I might have worked with operationally. But in a general sense, you know, as I've stated before, you know, I can state the fact that I worked in counterespionage operations. That in itself is not classified. The fact that the U.S. government does, you know, conducts double agent operations, this is no secret. This kind of thing, you know, has been going on since World War II and before. So,
well, sources and methods are where you start getting into a little sensitive areas.
Yeah. It's actually mostly, because in all honesty, a lot of the sources or the methods anyway, they're kind of out there. You know, these things surprisingly don't really change that much, except where the technological stuff is concerned. It's when you get into human sources and when you get into identifying a certain specific people associated with certain specific places and targets, then I could get in big trouble, because that's revealing operational things that I'm not at liberty to discuss.
Now, when we look at things like on TV, we have a TV show called Covert Affairs on
right.
USA Network, which you're probably familiar with, produced by one of the producers of the Bourne movies. So it has some pretty good action, and they've got this lead actress, woman in her early 30s, who plays a young CIA agent who goes around the world and gets into all sorts of trouble. But you also have interplays between the office. You have the office politics. You have people getting involved with one another, people trying to discredit one another, people trying to kill one another. And how exaggerated is something like that from the real world of intelligence?
Well, for most of my experience, over roughly 18 years, I would have said that it's greatly exaggerated. However, I did work with one outfit, which astonishingly, that wouldn't be exaggerated. I mean, this one unit had the worst management I'd ever encountered. It had a clique that was powerful because they were in tight with the bad manager. And the clique's members, would make it their little hobby to destroy people they didn't like personally. There was a lot of getting involved with each other, you might say. It was quite a toxic soap opera in that one unit. So I have experienced some of the melodrama, you know, that can happen. Now, all throughout my career, you know, just like anyone who's worked for Uncle Sam will tell you, you encounter incompetent management, you encounter, you know, office politics. But fortunately, I can say that most of my career was spent in the operational arena. So, like when I was with the FBI, I worked in what they call off-site locations, and our daily focus were operations. And when I was in OSI, I spent, you know, about half my time working in an office, you know, detached from the main office, that kind of thing. So I was fortunate. Except for that one unit, I really didn't encounter a lot of that stuff like you see on TV shows. And as you could guess, they take creative license to make it more interesting to watch.
Of course, because it has to be resolved in 43 and a half minutes, plus the commercials. Right. Otherwise, listen, that's how it goes. But, you know, the office politics, it doesn't just apply to intelligence or police.
It's
everywhere. We've got Walter Bosley, and it sounds like he's been everywhere. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
There is only one detox product that stands out above the rest, Micro Plant Powder, and it's available only at hempusa.org. Micro Plant Powder does wonders by removing toxins from the body. Detoxification is a vital process that's extremely important for restoring your health. Micro Plant Powder is available in 8 different formulations, and we can help you choose the one that's perfect for your lifestyle. Micro Plant Powder is 100% chemical-free, non-GMO, anti-inflammatory, gluten-free, and packaged by hand in BPA-free containers. HempUSA.org wants you to be healthy, and Micro Plant Powder is one of the best ways we know to detoxify your body from head to toe, all for about $10 a month. Take back your life and enjoy living again with Micro Plant Powder. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Micro Plant Powder. Available only at hempusa.org.
There's a huge and hushed up conspiracy going on that's about to turn your lives upside down in the coming few months. Unbelievably, the media are keeping quiet about this. I'm sure they know it, but they probably know that revealing it on TV will generate mass hysteria and chaos. But I believe you should be informed about it, because when the sinister agenda is finally accomplished and everything unravels, only those who know this secret info will survive and thrive. Go to 123conspiracy.com right now to see the truth. The video at 123conspiracy.com reveals the real, secret reason why Obama is after your guns and ammo. And it's not just in response to mass murders of preparing for war. It's something much darker. Go watch the video now at 123conspiracy.com before they shut it down. Again, that's 123conspiracy.com.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Walter Bosley joins us, former counterintelligence agent. Can we assume, Walter Bosley, that you're not doing that now? You're totally retired from that crazy life, and you're just a regular private citizen like the rest of us.
Yes, you can safely and honestly assume that. It would be nice to be otherwise, because I'd be getting a nice fat paycheck. but I'm out here like the rest of you guys, you know, just trying to scrape by on a private investigator's license, which I do have. I am a private investigator. And also, you know, doing my research and doing films, you know, a little bit. So I've been out of that since, out of my former profession since about 2006. For a couple of years there, I did background investigations for the government under contract, but haven't done that since 2008.
All right, let's talk about these two books, Empire of the Wheel. The first one's called Empire of the Wheel, Espionage, the Occult, and Murder in Southern California. And the second one, the sequel, is called Friends from Sonora. And I think one of the issues that Chris and I raised before we got you on is trying to put together the pieces of something that happened so long ago. We're talking about something here that goes back to what, 1915?
Yeah, 98 years ago.
I remember it well, my friend.
and talk about trying to put together the pieces. I mean, you're absolutely right there. It is difficult. You know, you run into, for instance, the police department here told me that their records were destroyed. They no longer exist. In my particular, when I did my particular query there, it's a chore to, you know, dig it out. You wouldn't think so because, you know, a lot of historical record going farther back, you know, does exist on the one hand with some things. But in this particular case, I really had the newspaper, local newspaper articles, and a little bit of archived records, genealogical records, coroner records, which are scant. It really comes down to an analysis of something's going on here. What the heck exactly is it?
But at least we didn't have cable TV talking heads. I mean, if you try to parse together what's happened with today's news, you will hear two diametrically opposed versions of the same story, not related to one another. And today, I think we have so much information, there's no way to find out what's really going on. So maybe you were lucky because mass communications wasn't quite what it was then.
Right. Well, you have a good point there. The problem that I did run into was the the disconnect between all the news reports, and you can read three news reports on the same day of the same event, and each one has the details and the facts a little different, a little off in some cases. Now they finally started to get it right, so to speak, or be all on the same page. But there was a period of time when I was researching one aspect of this whole thing, in which a chunk of news reports indicated that the central victim of the seven that are discussed in the first book was actually actually alive. At least the woman they identified her to be was alive, and she walked into the police department and said, "Oh no, I'm alive." But then, as you dig further, you find out no, that was not the case, and all of that is kind of like a red herring. That indeed, the mystery woman, so to speak, really, really was a mystery woman.
All right, let's talk about the mystery. What first attracted you to this story? I mean, just waking up one day and saying, hey, this is a strange thing that happened 98 years ago, and was certainly less than that when you started.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, I was interested in paranormal stories, specifically any ghost stories that were linked to what we call colloquially the ley lines, which I've since started calling telluric current, basically the energy grid, on the planet that I'm sure a lot of your listeners are already familiar with the basic concept of. And I was looking for any ghost stories in this area linked to the energy grid, identified to me by author and researcher Sacheri.
Before we go on, listeners may not know what we're talking about here, so we really have to kind of back up a little bit. Explain
sure.
The ley lines, the energy sources, and what significance this has, and then we can go into more of this case.
Okay. Colloquially, familiarly, sorry, I'm stumbling over my tongue. It's early for me. People are familiar with the term ley lines. That's actually not accurate. A ley line is technically something different. So I like to say, and Rick Spence and I, my co-author on the first book and on the upcoming third book, we like to say telluric current. Telluric current is something that it's a scientific fact. It's an extreme low frequency electromagnetic energy that actually runs through the Earth. Telegraphy, the old telegraph with the Morse code from the 1800s, telegraphy from the 1850s on has tapped into telluric current. Tesla, for instance, Nikola Tesla would tap into telluric current. But this telluric current is, in my opinion and others' opinion, the energy we're talking about when people talk about this planetary grid of energy that is popular in paranormal and alternative science circles. But the telluric current has a basis in scientific fact. It's a real thing. So when you hear me refer to, if I throw out the term ley lines in the discussion, I mostly am going to use telluric current, but if I throw out ley lines, that's my application of it. It's the energy that runs through the very terrain. It helped form the terrain when the planet was forming, and then it continues to run through the planet. So that's my best thumbnail description. I'm not a scientist, of course.
Okay, so there's the implication here that maybe these particular areas, they attract more unusual events. I mean, we're almost
getting
to what they call portal areas, but that would seem to be something separate.
Well, no, your portals, your vortices, these things, yes, would be linked to this grid. I agree with that particular opinion that many others share. And so I was looking for ghost stories, or other paranormal manifestations reported that might be linked to this energy grid. And I happened to find one. And this story was posted online by a woman who lives locally, who's a librarian, a woman named Ann Walker. And And she's one of the folks who had posted on this website called Find a Grave. I don't know if you've ever seen it or heard of it, but it's a fascinating website, particularly if you're into genealogical research. And she had posted a comment about a woman named Cora Stanton. And essentially, she claimed that Cora Stanton haunted a mall, a shopping mall, that I subsequently learned was built over the place where this Cora Stanton woman had died. So I thought, well, that's interesting. I got to talk to, I got to dig into this more because, you know, my first conversations online with Anne, you know, were intriguing enough. So I met with her and she gave me, you know, the details as she knew them. She said, hey, go look at the news stories. This woman, it was in 1915. There was all this murky mystery surrounding her death. That, you know, there's something funny going on there. So I went to the California room of the local San Bernardino Public Library. That's their historical archive room. And I started looking at these newspaper articles about the woman known as Cora Stanton. And I very quickly discovered that there were six other people who died under very curious circumstances, you know, within days or weeks of Cora Stanton, one of them a few months, but, you know, suddenly it was just kind of boom right there in my lap that there was something funny going on here.
Walter Bosley joining Gene and Chris. More to come. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
You've thought about it for years. Well, the time is now. You need a secret bunker, and you need it deep and strong. Atlas Survival Shelters should be your first and only choice. The experts at Atlas can help you choose a shelter that has all the comforts of your home and is 11 times stronger than square box shelters. Call Atlas at 1-855-4-BUNKERS. 1-855-4-BUNKERS. Or visit iwantthatbunker.com. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
Alabama, it's coming, and it's the event you and your family will not want to miss. The Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, Saturday and Sunday, September 7th and 8th, at the newly renovated Oxford Civic Center in Oxford, Alabama, where admission is totally free. There's something for everyone. Free classes and seminars on topics like food preparation, food harvesting, and food preservation. Free giveaways every 30 minutes. You could win seed kits, food, doTERRA oil, starter kits, water filters, and more, including a year's supply of food. Guest speakers include Bob from Black Dog Survival School, Mike from White Harvest Seeds, Dr. Tom Stoner from Dr. MedKits, and more. And be sure to stop by and check out the Youngevity booth, the Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, September 7th and 8th, a weekend of education and preparation that's totally free to attend. Don't forget, the Country Inn and Suites in Oxford has special rates available for those who attend the expo. Get all the details at thesouthernpreppers.com. That's thesouthernpreppers.com.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
On the Paracast, we're going back into time to 1915. Grisly murders. What attracted Walter Bosley and his co-author to look at this? Just funny, I was mentioning that TV series Covert Affairs about the young, pretty CIA agent. Of course, the name she uses on the air is Annie Walker. And you were in touch with someone named Ann Walker. Very strange.
You're kidding me. I've never watched Covert Affairs. Annie Walker, huh?
That's right.
You know, that's a whole other show, a show about synchronicity.
I was thinking about that because you wonder if they just picked that name out of whole cloth or they had some reason for it. Okay, so you got to piece together something that happened in 1915. You go to the library. You start putting it together. What next?
Well, as I said, I noticed, you know, there's something funny going on here because along with this mystery woman, we have six other people who died under very curious circumstances within days or weeks of this woman, you know, before and after. And my research quickly went from a fun, you know, little hunt for ghost stories to something quite a bit more serious. My initial gut impression was that there was a serial killer operating in San Bernardino in 1915. Very intriguing, you know, idea. And so I set out to gather any evidence I could that would, you know, tell me if my gut feeling was, you know, accurate or not. And the more I looked at it, the stranger it got. And yet, part of the strange aspect of it was I came away, and others that looked at it with me came away with the idea that the police were not sharing everything they knew with the newspaper men, as they should. And that was correct. They shouldn't have, because the newspaper men were getting stuff wrong left and right to begin with. And that the community just kind of wanted this to go away afterwards, because you'd never find another mention of it again in the local newspapers or local history at all until my first book. So it, you know, went almost 100 years until it was publicly mentioned again. But let's just say by January 1916, this issue was buried.
And I think, Walter, we should remind people that 100 years ago, San Bernardino was not the big, thriving, populated place that it is today. I mean, we're talking about a relatively small, rural, agricultural community, if memory serves me correct, from reading your book. I mean, the population back then was tiny compared.
It was about 12,000.
Okay.
12,000 people.
In today's world, that's like a small town.
Absolutely.
Today, there's hundreds of thousands of people that live in the area. So a series of deaths, you know, suspicious, possibly at the very least unexplained and curious deaths in a small town like that. You would think that this would reverberate through the community. And you're saying that this pretty much within a year, I mean, boom, that was it.
Well, what's interesting is at the time, you have to remember, as you said, yes, San Bernardino was small in today's terms. However, back then, what I discovered, right now, San Bernardino and what they call the 909 and this part of the Inland Empire, it's the butt of a lot of jokes because, quite frankly, I mean, San Bernardino's just gone bankrupt. San Bernardino has been, quite frankly, not really a great place for too many years now. Back then, and this surprised me because I have spent a good chunk of my life in this area, you know, coming and going. I was surprised to find that San Bernardino back in 1915 was the garden spot of Southern California. Tourists from all over the country and from all over the world, if they came to Southern California, they came to San Bernardino and particularly to visit the park that was here. It's called Urbita Springs Park. It had a big lake. It had rides, carnival rides. It had bandstands. It was the Disneyland of its day. And like I said, I grew up and spent a lot of time here throughout my life, and I was totally surprised. I had never really looked into it, but I'd never heard of this. And it was in the lake at Urbita Springs Park that the woman, Cora Stanton, died. And, you know, this mystery is surrounded. So San Bernardino, even though by today's standards, yes, you know, 12,000 people, you know, isn't very big. And even then, you know, that wasn't very big. However, on their 4th of July picnic, they used to draw a crowd bigger than the population of the city. Now, this is according to more than one report back then. I mean, you know, so they would draw, you know, 15 to 20,000 people or more to their park for their 4th of July celebration. So it really was this wonderful place that, you know, over the years just kind of faded away. And it lends to the whole mystique, you know, of what I've researched.
Now, when you're looking over mysterious deaths,
mm-hmm.
I think a simple question here before we go on. Was anybody caught? Did they ever find a perpetrator?
No. And here's the thing. It did not go reported as a serial murder, of course. And back then, you know, America had already had H.H. Holmes in the 1890s. And, you know, England had, of course, had Jack the Ripper before that. So the concept of a serial killer was not completely unknown, maybe not under that term. You know, they would call them a mass murderer or something. But what was very suspicious to me was that you had seven people, three of them alleged suicides, but there were strange circumstances around their alleged suicides. One of them was just supposedly just a mere boating accident, but the other three were minors. They were two small children and a teenager, and they were poisoned. And what was astonishing to me was that when you look at these newspaper reports, that, you know, the parents of the kids were cleared, you know, that they had nothing to do with it. The two small children, it was reported that they had very likely been given poison candy, but the report never goes into who gave it to them. It doesn't even mention, gosh, you know, we have some fiend running around who's, you know, giving these children poison candy. It just says that they briefly considered, you know, that the kids had eaten match heads, but it was, you know, later reported that they had been given poison candy. And the teenage girl, that she had eaten a poisoned orange, and nobody knew where she got it from. But here's the other interesting thing. Back then, forensics regarding toxins was a little bit more advanced than you might think, and poisoning was one of the most popular methods to murder people. There were a lot of murder cases that involved poisoning. The toxins that killed these children were never identified. I thought that was very interesting. And but with all this going on, you don't have any mention of possibly you know, there's a killer out there. Now, there was one guy who was arrested on a train, and he was kind of ended up being a loose thread in the first book. And when I pulled that thread, he became much more important in the second book. But he was a young guy in his early 20s, arrested on a train just less than 2 weeks, or around 10 days after the death of the woman, Cora Stanton. And he's found with a woman's purse. He is hallucinating. He's basically having a nervous breakdown. And he's claiming that he sees the face of a woman who others are accusing him of assaulting. Now, he's taken off the train, and he's committed into the local hospital. I believe County Hospital was the hospital because that was the logical choice and the available details. So I was able to confirm that he didn't go to Patton State Hospital. But the interesting thing is here we have this mysterious death of this woman and all these curious deaths going on, and here we have a guy arrested on a train in possession of a woman's purse, and he's committed into the hospital. He's freaking out. You would think, oh, well, here's your guy. You know, he was on a train trying to get out of town. Well, the police and the hospital release him into the custody of these unidentified friends from Sonora, and off he goes, and there's never a mention of him again.
Obviously, they didn't have a very good vetting process, or maybe they were so overcrowded they just wanted to get rid of the guy. There's so many more questions to ask about that, and also whether, and this is something you see on shows like Criminal Minds, anything has ever happened in that community, say 10, 20, 30 years later, that may have seemed superficially unrelated. You know, further investigations. Maybe it'll start him on a third and fourth book, although he's got the third one is under construction now. Walter Bosley has joined us. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.